Please turn with me now to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Going to read the entire psalm, and that is our text this evening as well. Let's pay careful attention now to God's word to us this evening. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So far, God's holy and true word. I'd encourage you to keep his word open before you as we unpack this word this evening. But first of all, please join me in prayer. Gracious, wonderful, majestic Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you, of having your word open before us. May your word speak to us this afternoon. May your word challenge us, encourage us. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, where were you March 19th, 2003? March 19th, 2003. Some of the boys or girls weren't on this earth yet. They weren't born yet. But March 19th, 2003. That was the day that Allied forces invaded the Republic of Iraq. The aim of this invasion was to overthrow Saddam Hussein. And it began with a campaign that had the theme, and this is a quote from one of the generals, a theme of shock and awe. And shock and awe it was, as bombs, missiles, cruise missiles rained destruction on various targets in Iraq. The aim to pulverize the Iraqi army, to beat them into submission. And it was a display of shock and awe, a show of force and destruction. The night sky became day as missiles and bombs rained from the sky. Something horrific to see, but yet amazing also to see, something that left a lasting impression on you as you watched that on the news. A horrible sight, showing the might of an attacking army. You couldn't help but be amazed, and an impression left on you. But it's a sense of awe that we need to have as we come to Psalm 8 this evening in a positive way, as the psalmist portrays the mighty, the awesome, the majestic acts of our God. The psalmist wants us to come away with a sense of awe of who God is and what he does. And so this evening, our theme is, we proclaim the Lord's majesty. We proclaim the Lord's majesty, who God is and what he has done. What do we mean by majesty? Well, that's a word that refers to God's glory. How amazing he is, how glorious he is. The name that God makes for himself. The psalmist is amazed and in awe of his God, and by implication, he invites us to be amazed as well. We're going to look at three ways that God shows us his majesty. And as we look at these three ways, I want you to be asking yourself the question tonight, am I amazed? Am I in awe as I consider these truths? Do these truths lead me to proclaim how glorious, how majestic God is? The first thing we're going to see is God's majesty through creation. His majesty through creation. Verse 1 sets the boundaries of God's glory, of his majesty. Except they aren't really boundaries, are they? How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. God is higher than the heavens. All of creation speaks of his glory. Verse 3, and we'll look at that shortly, the psalmist speaks about the heavens, the stars, proclaiming his praise, showing us his majesty. We live in the most beautiful place in the world, in the most beautiful country of the world, don't we? When you come to visit Ringiorua, and that's an invitation to come and visit us sometimes in worship, not steal sheep stealing, so don't worry about that, but come and visit us. We have this magnificent vista in the morning of the Southern Alps behind us. And on a good day in the middle of winter, there's this glorious tapestry of snow on the Southern Alps, snow on the foothills. We're able to go and walk in on those hills and see the Canterbury Plains, walk along the Waimak River, the Ashley River. We're able to experience the beauty of God's creation as we walk through the amazing peace and quiet of snow falling down. That wonderful noise and sensation as you walk on fresh new snow and that little squeak that you have beneath your feet. The amazing intricacy of a flower, one flower that God has designed. The beauty and complexity of a spider's web. We live in a beautiful place, on a beautiful planet, and then we see these views from the Hubble telescope where we see the glory, the majesty of God throughout the universe. And all of this cries out, all of this proclaims, God made me. His creation means that he is worthy of praise. Verse 2 tells us that another part of creation brings his praise. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you've established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. A strange phrase in some ways, isn't it? But Andy read for us from Matthew 21, where Jesus explains this for us. As the children who are proclaiming Jesus' praise and singing, Hosanna in the highest, the Pharisees and the other leaders want them to stop. They look on with anger. And Jesus quotes this psalm to them. Haven't you heard that out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes? How are God's enemies, and how will God's enemies be made quiet? Simply through the voice of children proclaiming his praise. Little children in Matthew 21 bringing glory to Christ. Little children bringing glory to creation. And we are encouraged to look at creation through the eyes of children. With a simple trust. Eyes wide open of what he has made and designed. So are you amazed, brothers and sisters, friends, with the glory of God's handiwork? The beauty, the intricate detail? Or are your senses dulled? It's so easy, isn't it, to drive to work, to drive the children somewhere. And the busyness of life, and life has got busy again very quickly, hasn't it? And the busyness of life, to forget to stop. To look up. To look around and be reminded of the wonderful majesty of our Creator. Are you amazed at the world in which you live in? Does it lead you to proclaim the glory of the God you serve? Can you say with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth? Maybe it's time for another look, a fresh look. We see God's majesty proclaimed through creation. But we also see God's majesty, and that's our second point, his majesty through mankind. One of the places that I'd like to visit in my time here on earth and is Mount John Observatory. Has anyone been to Mount John Observatory? I've been during the day, but I haven't been at night. Mount John is by Lake Tekapo, and it's known as a dark sky reserve. And that means that the lights are in the area have to be a special design so that you can see the glory and the beauty of the stars in the heavens. Our Milky Way galaxy alone has 100 billion stars. If you're on Mount John on a clear night with good eyes and healthy eyes, you can see about 2,500 of them. I haven't been there, I said, but I've seen enough pictures and I've been in a dark sky enough to see the glory of the heavens. And when you look at the stars and you see the planets and the shooting stars, you can't help but be blown away by God's majesty. And say like David does in verses 3 and 4, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Compared to the universe, we are insignificant. But yet, God is mindful of us. He cares for us. God isn't some cold God who's out there, aloof, apart from us. No, he stoops down to us and cares for us. The psalmist goes on to explain how God is mindful of us in two ways. The first way is in verse 5, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Keep your hand there in Psalm 8, but turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Here we see the glory of mankind. In Genesis 1 verse 26, we read this. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God who created him. Male and female, he created them. Mankind is created in God's image, holy, righteous, and good. A rational being, a spiritual being, able to proclaim the glory of who God is. Mankind proclaims his majesty and through looking after creation. Verses 6 and following of Psalm 8. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. And a description of all that God has put under our feet. A continuation there of what we were looking at in Genesis chapter 1. And that's mankind in a perfect world. Showing God's glory. Living for him. Perfectly looking after the creation, the resources that he has given us to look after. That's not the picture of the world we live in now, is it? Something happened to break that perfect image. And that something happened just two chapters further into the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. As Adam and Eve fell, as they chose to reject God's majesty and his graciousness, as they chose to go their own way, and because of that, ever since that day, every single part of who we are is corrupted. That wonderful, glorious image of God is broken. Instead of awesome, It's simply awful. We live in a world that's broken. We live in the tension that sin brings, damaged, broken relationships, racial tension, a world full of hate. And we don't need to look just outside there. We simply need to open our mouths. And how often do we do that and realize, after we've spoken, how broken we are? We feel the effects of sin as we drag our bodies out of bed in the morning and are reminded of all the aches and pains that we carry with us. And if you don't feel that, you will. Instead of majesty, instead of awesomeness, we are broken and carrying the effects of sin. And that's where our third point comes in. We've seen the majesty of God through creation and how he has designed and created mankind. But in our third point, we see the most impressive, the most awesome, the most majestic way that God works. We see God's majesty through salvation. We've seen Christ make the psalm his own in Matthew 21. But the author to the Hebrews takes it one step further. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We're looking at verses 5 and following. In my Bible, that section is headed up, the founder of salvation. And there's a clue for us there already, the founder of salvation. The author to the Hebrews begins in verse 5, "For it is not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking." Jesus is being compared to angels. And then the author goes on to say, and I always find that encouraging, the author of Hebrews doesn't say it's in Psalm 2, but he says it has been testified somewhere. It's encouraging in a way. I find that encouraging. And then he goes on to quote from Psalm 8. "What is man that you are mindful of him," and so on. Taking the psalm and showing us how it points to Jesus. Psalm 2 speaks about the majesty of mankind, the way we are supposed to be. But it also shows us the answer to how we get back there, the answer to the fall, and Jesus is that answer. He was made a little lower than the heavenly beings. He became human flesh, suffering, living, dying, rising again from the grave for us. A tremendous act of weakness, but also a tremendous display of the awesome majesty of our God. As the author says in Hebrews 2 verse 9, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." Through Jesus Christ's work, he brings us to glory. He helps us share in the glory, the majesty that Jesus Christ has. God's majesty shown through salvation should make us recognize, proclaim the wonderful majesty of our God. It's Christ's work that makes us to be able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 8, "O Lord, my Lord, O Lord, our Lord." But we're not there yet. As the author says in Hebrews 2 verse 8, "At present we do not yet see everything in subjection to him," speaking of Jesus Christ. We have not yet seen the day where everything is totally and completely defeated, subject to him. There's a question that's asked of virtually every parent on a long car journey. And what's that question? Are we there yet? Sometimes I want to cry that out myself, not while I'm in the car. But as I think about my own sins, my own struggles, my own insecurities, it makes me want to cry, are we there yet? When are you coming, Jesus Christ? When will the struggle be over? And God's answer to us, God's answer to you, his answer to me, is soon. It will be over soon. Christ's work on the cross has been done. The time is coming where Jesus will reign, where all things will be in subjection under his feet, where we will see that with our own eyes. In the meantime, Christ is at work in us through the work of the Holy Spirit, making us slowly, carefully, steadily, surely to that man and that woman described in Psalm 8. That glorious, majestic picture. And the day is coming when our faith will be sight, when our salvation will be complete, when our work of glorification is totally finished, and we will be able to see with our own eyes the wonderful glory, the majesty of seeing our God and Father and his Son face to face. We will truly be able to witness his majesty. A day coming that will be even better than it was for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in the garden, we know and feel that, we've talked about that, were created able to sin. Something that will be totally impossible for us. Imagine that. Unable to sin. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more death. All because of God's majesty through our salvation. So as you see the majesty of God this afternoon, what is your response? Meh? Yawn? Hope he winds up soon? I hope not. And brothers and sisters, shame on us. Shame on you, shame on me for taking for granted God's glory and his majesty. For being ambivalent about who he is and this wonderful, glorious world that he has created to show us his glory. Of not feeling enough the pain and sorrow and our insufficiency. Of not looking forward enough to the glory, the majesty that we will experience with him. Of not being thankful enough for the majesty of Christ's salvation for us. Instead, I hope your response will be, like the psalmist, how majestic is your name? How majestic are you, O God, my God, through what you have created? Through mankind have you have set up as the crown and the glory of your creation, the wonderful majesty of your salvation for me. Let's close by saying these words together from Psalm 8, verse 9. Let's confess our faith together with these words. Let's say them together. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We confess before you this afternoon that often, too often, we don't consider you that majestic. We don't consider the work of your hands and what you have made and bring you glory. Forgive us for being ambivalent with who you are and what you have done. Forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for our self-centeredness as we are so wrapped up in ourselves and not serving you and who you are. Create in us anew this afternoon as we go out and live in your creation this week. As we are reminded of the beauty and the majesty of our salvation that you have set out for us, of the wonderful, majestic work of our Savior. Lord, as we consider that, as we think about that, may that give us hope as we deal and live in our lives at present. Lift up the light and the hope of the day when we will see you in all your glory and all your majesty. And that work and your work of glory of salvation will be 100% completely fulfilled in us. So that we will live and breathe and see forever how majestic, how glorious you are. So Heavenly Father, we say throughout with the church, throughout all the ages, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.